Christmas time, and so I was thinking, what do we do? There's Sunday morning, Sunday night. Obviously, you've got the Christmas Eve message, you know, that is so beautiful, and we're going to go through that and read through that. But I was thinking of it in two ways, two messages. Our first one, which will be the one we're going to be doing this morning, will be Our World Fallen. And then tonight, we're going to be looking at Our World Redeemed. The stories of where we were at and what was offered to us with God sending his own son to be with us. Let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you so much for your son coming and living and being amongst us, living so humbly and then dying on the cross for our sins. We just thank you for that, God. We don't want to take that in lightly or in vain, and we recognize the sacrifice, the gift, God. And so help us to receive that and to understand where we are, where we're at on our own, and then our need for you and the good news that you came for us, Lord. So we just pray that you'd speak to us through your word, by your spirit. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you guys recognize that understanding your position or knowing the truth is the start of change, right? You understand that? When you really understand where you're at is when you're ready for change. This really goes like across the gambit in so many different ways. Maybe you got a financial advisor for the first time because you're like, I want to get my finances in order. I want to do this right. And one of the first things they're going to want to do is look at all of what you're spending. They want to see everything that you do. And it can be absolutely shocking how much money you spend on things like Starbucks, on things like groceries. I remember I was sitting down to do a budget. Pastor Aaron, who was here a couple weeks ago, and he's like, let's work out a budget. I'm like 18 or 19 years old or something. I don't know what I'm doing, you know? And he's like, how much money do you think you'll spend in groceries for food? I was like, I have no idea. And he says, let's say $200. And I'm like, $200, you insane? That's so much money. And he's like, no, that's like not that much money. That is like probably at least what you spend. And but it was shocking to me to hear the number of $200. Now, if I were able to go back and look at how much money I'd spent on restaurants, I'm sure it would boggle my mind. If you've done this, you know that is the start of going, I need to change some things in my life. Reckless spending, you know, those kind of things. It's the start of going, realizing, oh, this is really where I'm at. And okay. I've referenced before the show Biggest Loser because I think it's fun to watch. I haven't watched it for a long time, but back when we used to, one of the first things they would do is they would take these people in who are great, like just way overweight and super unhealthy, and the doctor would tell them hard facts about where they're really at, and telling them, they would go even as far as to say, you're probably going to die at this age. And the people would just be, you know, usually in tears. Like, they would just be so distraught. And they were, like, telling them, you are this much percentage. Your heart is, like, this much restricted. You know, all that kind of stuff. Heavy, heavy news. And you go, gosh, it's brutal. In front of all of us on TV, you're being told all these horrific facts. And I don't think they do it just for dramatic reasons. They're doing it so that you can see where you're really at. So you can start saying, there's a problem and I need help. And what happens? They eventually can change. And one of the most beautiful things is at the end, they usually bring them back before the doctor. And the doctor will say, now this is where you're at. What a difference has been made, you know, if they can stick to it. But there's something very important about that. That's like the idea of interventions, of meeting with someone to help them to see what's really going on. A lot of times people get sent away to rehab or a recovery place, but if they don't understand there's a problem, it will be a reoccurring thing until they realize I've got a problem here in my life and I need to deal with it. So bad news, a lot of times, is just as important to get us to the place of good news. You got to understand where you're really at to be able to understand where you're going and what you need, right, for help. In this world, we have to ask ourselves the question, why do we need a savior? Why did God need to send his son to die on the cross? What is the point? What's the purpose? Unfortunately, actually, you know, we're far worse off than any of us would ever want to admit, right? If you, everyone in this room, if we could all see everything going on in there, it would be like, it would be ghost town in here, right? No one would want to, if they knew what you thought, what you said, what all that kind of stuff, everything that you think behind closed doors, right? When you're at your worst, it'd be really, really rough. Especially before you came to Christ and he starts redeeming those things in your life. But we needed a savior, right? Romans 5, verses 12 through 21 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but was not imputed when there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. We are all, in a sense, under the sin of Adam, right? And we would have made the same mistake. But we are born into sin. We have sin natures. I always forget, you know, you see the pictures of your kids when they were little, and you kind of forget, like, that sometimes they're just like little sinners, you know? And then you have another one, and like now we have Hazel, she's one, and she just sit there, she'll go, no, 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 no. Like she does not want to do that. No, 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 no. Like if there's someone gets in her way, no, 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 I'm gonna go do what I wanna do. And I saw her, we have the little outlet plugs, you know, don't touch the outlet. And I saw her, she was touching the outlet thing on the plug, and I said, I just don't want her to get used to that, right? And I made a mistake of making a bigger deal out of it than I should have, which is just this, you know, anyway, pick your battles, you know. She probably wouldn't have thought anything of it otherwise. But I said to her, I said, Hazel, don't touch that. And she looks at it and she goes, and she keeps touching it. And I go, I said, don't touch it. And she's just like sitting there and she's looking at me like, bet you won't do a thing either, huh? Looking cute, right? Well, it reminded me of Violet, what she used to do. She would go, put her finger in her mouth. We say, Violet, don't put your finger in her mouth. She put her other finger in her mouth. You go, wow, this is something is coming. You guys come out like this, right? And there's so many great things about them, but it is so obvious that there is a sin nature involved there, a rebellious nature towards the things that are trying to protect them, towards the things that are trying to keep them safe. There's a rebellious nature. It's in all of us. And it was started with Adam, obviously, at the original sin of the garden, which was really a sin of saying, God knows everything. I want to know everything too. I want to be like God. And so, you know, he's got it all. He understands it all. So I want to be just like him. There's something he knows that I don't know, and therefore I want to be on his level. Unfortunately, what we came to know was something that would absolutely be our death, the knowledge of good and evil. And they tasted of the tree, and it's been imputed to us. It's been on top of us from Adam to Moses through the law. It's been revealed that we are not okay on our own. We're not good. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace and of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and of gift, and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. And you're like, that's a lot of heavy. What it's saying is like, through one man, sin came and it wrecked everything until the promised Messiah came and fixed it. This was a rescue mission from this, I think, from the second that sin entered into the world, God had a rescue mission in mind. And it was going to be through his son to come and restore relationship with us. It was foretold over and over again for generations and generations. Since the fall, we've been pointing to there is going to be hope in the future. There's something that's, even though death reigns, there's life and there's hope for life. Even through, if we were to look at the patriarchs and these the great men of faith, we could see what they were looking at. They were looking at this. It says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we are also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We look at this hope that he knowingly, even though he knew that all the pain that was coming, the joy that was set before him is what drove him because of the hope that it would bring in us. One chapter earlier, it talks about all the patriarchs. Like I was saying, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you know, all these guys who honored God with their lives. And by what? By faith. But what do they die? They died not fully receiving the promise, but looking forward to what was to come. And that was Jesus coming to die for us, to rescue us. These guys were willing to like not even see the promise. Man, it's so hard not to see what God is doing in your life when you are going through something. You just go, oh, I'm just like, I'm stuck. I'm going through it. I don't know what to do. I can't get out of this. But when you have hope at the end of it, it's a little easier, right? Like, say you're, maybe for some of you, the hardest thing you've ever done is like ran a mile. I don't know. Do you remember the mile that used to run at school? Do you remember that? How long did a mile seem? It seemed so long when you were like in like second grade. They're like, we're running the mile today. And you're like, well, then I'm going to die today. This is going to be it. It'll still be it for me. But as you're running, you start making up ground, right? And you're getting further and you're further and you're further. And then all of a sudden you start looking around and you're like, oh, that's one lap. That's two laps. Most fields, how many laps is it? Do you guys remember? Four, right? And so you get through the first one and you're like, this is the worst. And you get through the second one, you're like halfway there. You get through the third one and you're on the last one. As you're rounding the corner, what do you usually do? You can see what? The finish line. And what happens when you see the finish line? Man, you sprinting, huh? I remember the kids that would sprint at the very beginning because they thought, well, just sprint it, you know? And they just took off. And, you know, you'd see them like quarter of the way around the first lap and they're just like, you know, head down. But there's that end. When there's an end goal, and so you go, okay, I can just keep on going. Man, I'm going through this. I got it. There it is. And you're able to endure to get past that finish line. But sometimes there, you don't even know when you're going to end. And that's the hardest. Those are the hardest things. I've talked before about our hikes in Colorado where the kids don't know how hard or far it will be. I remember the first time I did that hike, it seemed like it was like 100 miles long. Because it's like every time you turn a corner, you always think, oh, it's probably there. And then you're like, oh, no, that's, oh, it's the mountain range over there. And it seemed like no matter what you did, it just never, you felt like you could never get there because you didn't know when the end was and you're just enduring. You're just in it. There's so many times in our lives where we're like that. We don't know what is coming next. We don't understand the place that we're at. It's just like heavy. It's a heavy load. It's a burden. Like what's next? What's coming next? Like what's gonna fall apart next? I don't know what to do. The end doesn't seem to be in sight. You're just in it. Well, remember, the patriarchs, a lot of them, they died without that promise. Abraham, what was the promise for him? You're gonna fill up the whole earth with your lineage here. And yet, he could not have a baby. Why? What is going on? Well, so he decides to try and fulfill it in the flesh, right? And that opened up a whole new can of worms, right? That's Ishmael, and that's, you know, going and tried to make it happen in the flesh as opposed to the way God had said it would be. But what ends up happening? He has one son, you know, that's of the line, and it's Isaac. And he's, what, 100 years old? The promises were extremely delayed in coming, but there was a reward for those who faithfully continued on. But we have a hope because we've actually even seen it. We aren't like the Old Testament where we're looking to Jesus to come, whatever that looks like. We've seen him come. And now we're made new in him. We are justified in what's happened. We've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We live in an amazing day and age. We have a relationship has been restored with the Savior. But if you don't understand that you needed to be saved, then it doesn't do anything for you. If you don't understand that, like, you're not that good, you're not okay, like, because God is perfect, then it doesn't do anything for you. I think understanding how flawed you are is, like, the first step in, like, letting God work in your life. You know, going back to that Biggest Loser analogy, the people who hold on to, like, what they think they know are the slowest ones to progress. The ones who do the very best are the ones who say, everything I know about all of this is wrong. Obviously, look around. I'm a disaster in this way of life, in this part. So I'm just going to 100% submit to the plan that is tried and true and to the one who knows what's best because I can't see my way out. And what ends up happening? Those are the ones that do amazing, right? Because they said, I'm a mess. I don't know what I'm doing. But it's the ones who hold on being like, actually, I'm not as big as them. I'm actually better off than they are. And I to a certain level where you go, yeah, that's true. But what happens is as time goes on, that excuse doesn't work anymore. Because they're full on changing. You know what I'm saying? And it's not about that. It's just I feel like it's a really good example for understanding where you're at and really how messed up you are. And then so you can see that you need good news and that the good news is there for you. I think there's nothing more frustrated than Christians who are trying to like follow God but also don't think they're that bad. Because you're kind of like, when you don't think you're that bad, you don't feel like you need help with your plans that much, right? Like, it's like, yeah, you know, you can be like assisting me here and there, you know? It's kind of like the co-pilot thing. You can be my co-pilot, you know? It's really like, it's not about God being your co-pilot. It's about like him taking you and saying, can you please tie me up and put me in the trunk and then take me wherever? Because I will probably complain the whole way until we get there. And then you can just, at that point, just let me back out and then tell me exactly what to do when we get there. That's the kind of like, you know, where you recognize, man, I am, every time I grab the reins, I mess things up. And it happens quicker than you think. But we have a hope. The hope that there is, we don't stay in this fallen state, in this fallen world. And even this world has hope that there's going to be a new world one day. God will restore and he will fulfill and he will continue to do what he's doing. And we have hope in him because he came for a good reason. I love that what we read from Hebrews. He despised the shame, but he endured the cross and the race set before him. Why? Because he knew what it was going to bring about. So here's the thing. It's not just good news to us. It's good news to him. It's the joy of us being restored. We talk about Christmas and you think of the gifts and shopping is insane. I, on Friday, went to Trader Joe's in Oceanside and like, then I just try to turn to get onto Vista Way to go like towards where Walmart is and like Best Buy. And the street is just like, pfft. I mean, it is just like backed up. Everyone is trying to, have you ever gone into that shopping center over there? Like the one over Vista, I'll never go in there again near Christmas. But one time I was like, oh, I'll just go to Best Buy, you know, because late shopper. And so I remember going in there and it took me like an hour to get in and out. It was just like, what? Feel like you're leaving like from Disneyland or something. It's just like everyone and their brother is there, you know. It's just like chaotic, right? There's so much going on. And so we get into that whole gift-giving thing. And somewhat gifts even can become kind of a burden sometimes. But you know what's not a burden? And you know what was not hard for me? Was to pick out gifts for my children. You go through and you're just like, oh, he's going to love this, you know? And I've got a special edge on Canon because I'm like a male and he's just like a lot like me. So I'm like, oh, Canon will love that. And he loves everything. He's so easy, like loves everything. And Tori's like looking at it, oh yeah, Violet's going to love that. And with Hazel, we're like, she doesn't even know what's going on. We don't really need to get her a gift, you know, like she has so many other things. But then you get to know her and you're like, oh, you got to get Hazel. Oh, if she gets that little this, she's going to freak out. And she will, because she will. You'll see her and she'll be like, doggy, woo woo. You know, she'll be all pumped. But there's nothing better than being able to give these gifts to your kids and watch them just receive it with such joy. Like at this point, it's like, I can't wait to be able to sit down and watch them open a gift. Cannon and Violet, you know, Cannon was a little sick yesterday, so they're not here. They'll be here tonight. But she's like, can I have them each open a gift this morning? And I was like, no, I want to watch them open the first gift. I was like, okay, fine, you can't. She's like, no, I won't. I'm like, okay, cool. Because I just want to see their faces, you know? I want to see, because sometimes they open like three or four and they're like, oh, what else, you know? But the first one is like, there's something about the first one going, whoa, you know? But we have this amazing gift that was given to us, and it wasn't without cost. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11 says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Keep in mind, the gift that was given to us was very costly. You know, the best gifts are costly, right? I'm not talking about financial, like just cost a lot of money, but like maybe it's something that you've worked on, or maybe it's something that you've really thought through. I like gift cards personally. Like, I'm into it, you know, because I'm just like, oh, good. Like, you know, I can do something with that. You know, I know exactly where to go and I can figure it out and this kind of stuff. But there is definitely something about a gift that is given that really speaks to you that you didn't even ask for, right? Because it says you're known and you're loved, doesn't it? It says, I know you, I know who you are, and I really love you. And that's why I'm giving this to you. It's something that will be a tangible way, in a tangible way, I love you, and I do know you, right? We used to get gifts, and sometimes you get gifts from relatives that really legit don't know you. They, like, live somewhere else, and you get them, and you're going, whoa, that's interesting. Like, you know, it's like a sweater with sheep on it and stuff, and you're like, I am 16, so... I'm like, I wear only black at this point in my life, you know? Oh, I guess. I guess I continued on. But good gifts are costly, right? But what's the greatest way to honor someone who gives you a great gift? Is it to say, oh, well, I'm going to get you something really good too? What does that do? That just makes you go, that's weird, like, You probably won't either. Like, I don't think you will. Like, well, something's in the mail for you. You're like, doesn't matter. All I want from you, I'm not expecting anything. I don't want my kids to buy me anything because that would mean they're buying it with my money anyway. And so I don't really, you know, they don't have that much money, you know. They burned it on Legoland, you know. Just kidding. But it's that I just really want you to appreciate it. I really want you to be so stoked on this. We were thinking, what were we going to do? And I was just thinking, I know Canon loves, like, video games, and it's kind of like a thing where, like, is that good or bad? I don't know. But there's the new Super Nintendo Classic came out. It's, like, an $80 thing, and it has all these old-school games on it. And I was like, I gotta find that thing. Because, first of all, it has Street Fighter on it, so I'm thinking I'm playing that thing, too, for sure. And so I started looking, and I just started going through everything, and I find, I found one. And so I ordered it and it came in, and I cannot wait for him to open that. Tori wanted these shoes that were out of stock. She's the one that told me they're out of stock too. And I looked on it, but it said, we'll make sure this message doesn't go up in case she listens to it this afternoon. But it goes up. There's a thing that I look on it, says her size came back in the day I could order it to get it in time, and it came on Friday here. So she doesn't know. And I just cannot wait for her to open those things, because she thought there's no way she's getting them. Isn't that the best feeling?
Right.
If you say something to her, I'll be like so in the flesh, and I'll make a mistake, and it'll cost both of us, you know? So don't make me go in the flesh. God help us. Sorry, guys. You're like, if this isn't the flesh, I'm terrified as to what that would be like. But I think that the greatest thing we can do in this season is to recognize a lot of people say, it's not about the gifts. What the gifts do show you is that there's something that's been given so valuable to bless you. It's to bless you. Like, it's like, I just want to bless you. Like, unexpectedly, you know, I think it helps us get our eyes on Jesus. Now, it goes too far where everyone goes into debt over Christmas. Don't do that. Don't spend so much. Oh, my gosh. It's already too late. You're like, it's too late. The credit card's coming next month, and I will deal with it then, you know. But it is a good reminder to think of, man, the greatest gift that we could have ever gotten, that we could have never paid for. And what is our response? Gratefulness, thankfulness, joy. To be able to have that joy. Remember, Jesus said he despised the cross, but it was the joy that was set before him. Because of the restoration, we get to live in that joy. Circumstances, they come and they go, but we get to live in the joy of what he did as he, in the midst of this fallen world, came to us in the most humble of ways. We'll talk more about that tonight. There's a little lead-in, okay? But I want you guys to understand the. Sometimes we grew up in, you know, a lot of us grew up here in the United States, and we've known the message of Jesus being born and dying on the, you know, a lot of us have known that our whole lives. And I was listening to some Christmas music messages to hear, you know, just kind of some different, you know, what people did and stuff. And I love Francis Chan. He's just like, he's like a crazy real deal kind of guy, you know, in the midst of celebrities. He's like very real. And I was listening to one of his, and his whole thing was just us recognizing and realizing how amazing the message of Christmas really is, that God sent his son to die for us, that we could be redeemed, that our sins could be forgiven. And so he had talked about, they had these missionaries who were out at this tribe. After 6 years, they were able to share the gospel with them because they had to learn the language. It was some tribe in Papua New Guinea that legitimately didn't know the language. It was like no, like, you know, where you could do, what's that software where you, what is it? Rosetta Stone. There was no Rosetta Stone for this language. Very tribal, you know? And he said, this wasn't them, but this was another group of people who had come to understand that Jesus was their Savior. It's this tribe out in the middle of nowhere, and they were able to get video footage of these people. It kind of seems like they might kill them at first, but you'll see. So we got a little clip from it here. There you go. Oh, that's Francis Chan. Yeah, there you go. He looking good.
Video of that.
too believes that Christ has paid for his sins. Itah, which means it's true or it's good, it's very true. Village grammar, rejoicing that he believes, so does she. Different ones giving testimony as to their belief in Christ as their sin bearer. Mark saying that if they really are believing, then God's word says that their sin is forgiven. Itah, it's good, it's true. Spontaneous rejoicing breaks out. This went on for 2.5 hours.
Whoa.
It's a race. Yeah.
We'll just let him finish up for us. Do you remember when you recognized how good the good news was? Do you remember that? Be reminded of that today. Be reminded of the how good it was that God sent his son to die for us on the cross. Imagine that, finding out that your debt has been paid. You know, I just think about that, like you buy a car and all of a sudden somebody's like, actually, you know what? It's just paid for. And you're like, that saves 5 years off of my life of, you know, $300 a month or whatever, you know? I mean, what would we do? We would probably be dancing around. They were like crowd surfing. That we thought we did, you know, that's worldwide, okay? But it's just, I think there's just like, I think sure they were caught up in the moment, but I think that it was a beautiful understanding of what had just taken place. Is there any better news? Is there anything that should make you do that more than understanding that you've been saved, that you've been forgiven? Man, our world's fallen. We have a Redeemer. We have a hope. There's life in Christ. And it is good news. Let's pray, Lord. We are so thankful, Lord. Give us a heart like that, that is just so soft and not calloused and sensitive to what you did on the cross for us, what you did by sending your sons in such a lowly way to this world. That we have hope in you.